Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Very excited to have this next guest on. Tim Tibisaar is Oregon State's defensive coordinator. And by the way, as I look outside right now, I see snow falling, and I saw it earlier today falling, and yet the temperature was like 35 to 36 degrees, and I thought, well, that must be snow forming high above and then just falling, and it never sticks. Tim Tibisaar is a guy who has lived in North Dakota. He's a guy whose hometown is St. Paul, Minnesota. He's a guy who spent some time in Wisconsin. Do you just laugh when people talk about snow?
Yeah, this is hardly even a snowfall. This is a thick rain, is I guess what you would call it here. I don't know. But yeah, this is a beautiful winter as far as I'm concerned.
I lived in Fort Wayne, Indiana one year, and I never have seen snow like that, and I hated it because of the snow. And I was all over the Big Ten country covering Big Ten football, and I thought, and I got here, we get a half an inch and we all go into a coma.
Well, that was a little bit what happened last week. Obviously, no, there was snow and ice, and like, I think my daughter had two snow days and a late start day of school, and she was upset because by the time the afternoon rolled around, all the snow was gone. She wanted to play in the snow. So yeah, it's a whole different deal from a snow day around here.
We're talking to Tim Tibisaar, as your defensive coordinator at Oregon State. I wanted people to get to know you a little bit, and you've been all over the place coaching, and you went to North Dakota for school. You got a master's at San Diego State. Not bad. San Diego State, that's pretty good weather.
Yeah, well, like you kind of mentioned, when you grow up in Minnesota and then you go to college in North Dakota, being able to go, at that point in time, I was in a position to choose where I wanted to go to school, and San Diego State sounded a lot warmer and a lot different than what I had experienced so far.
How has it changed? How has defense changed as offenses have evolved? Is it more complex? They're playing faster. They're spreading you out. But how different is it to call a defense against the offenses today than maybe a decade or two ago?
I think the game of football has changed tremendously in the last two decades. And just, you know, with the style of play that's going on, with how much more throwing the football is occurring, obviously with the advent of the spread and kind of getting, you know, three and four wide receivers out on the football field. And that really, it was almost more from the bottom up with a lot of the high schools doing that and filtering up through college. And then even now you're seeing the effects of it on the NFL and in pro football. And so, you know, the game certainly has changed. Back when I played and played linebacker, you were going to see two back runs for 75% of the game, and you're going to see ISO and power and all those types of things. And really, you can go a whole season if you're scheduled a certain way. You may not see a single offense that's like that anymore.
It was interesting as some of the offenses started to evolve. I wondered if the defenses that got to practice against offenses that were running stuff had an advantage. In the conference as it stands right now, is there an advantage? I mean, is Stanford being a little bit unique an advantage, or you know, what you guys are doing offensively? You practice against it every day. How challenging is it to practice against one sort of offensive style and then have to play a different one?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's a great question. Who has the advantage? Is it, you know, I mean, is Stanford's offense an advantage because they're so unique with what they've done from a big personnel grouping standpoint, or are the defenses that get to see all that the spread stuff in practice at an advantage? And at the end of the day, it's both sides of it. You got to line up and you got to play the team that's lined up across from you, and you got to out execute them. And so I don't know if there's an inherent advantage. I know certainly for us, when I was the 3 years I was at Wisconsin, and they were more of a traditional pro-style offense and two-back run game and everything like that, I do think teams in our league struggled with that at times of being able to play that style because they were so used to in practice seeing all the spread stuff, even in the Big Ten.
You guys got to get to the quarterback, and I know that a big piece of that starts with personnel. As you look around now, real early in spring practice, do you see better personnel on that defensive front? Do you see more athletic guys?
Well, you know, we've had one practice, and it was out there with helmet and jerseys on.
Yeah.
You know, no pads. But, certainly you feel better about walking out there, you know, for our first day of practice and just seeing the guys going to stretch and seeing the body types and how we look. And we're starting to get, I kind of made a joking comment, to Coach Smith that, hey, look, we got some guys with some bumps on their arms and stuff like that now. I think Coach McDonald has done a phenomenal job in the weight room with his staff in helping our guys get stronger and faster. But that's not something that happens overnight. That's a long – it's been a year of training teaching these guys how to lift a certain way, training them how to do it, and it's a constant ongoing process of getting guys bigger and stronger. But we're certainly in a much better place than we were a year ago from where our personnel's at.
Is there a player or two maybe that, suffered with injuries last year that could be a huge addition that you get somebody back healthy?
Yeah, well, the two guys that are kind of obvious for us is Omar Hixonu and David Morris in the secondary. That they weren't able to play for us at all last season, really. David got in a little bit at the very end of the season on some special teams when we were still able to redshirt him because he was just getting himself back into playing shape at that point in time. But, they've both been out almost a full year, and now getting those guys back. And Omar's fully healthy to go for spring practice. David's nursing a little bit of a hamstring. But those are two guys who started games here before at Oregon State, before we got here, actually.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And have played in Pac-12 games. And, that could be a great infusion into our defense.
Tim Tibisar is with us, Oregon State's defensive coordinator. You're in a conference that's got Mike Leach and Chip Kelly. You got some offensive minds. Does that get your juices going competitively? I mean, you're a guy who played linebacker at a high level and played well. Does that kind of get you going? Or having been in the NFL, have you kind of had those moments where you looked across and said, all right, I'm game planning against a guy who knows what he's doing?
If you're a coach, you're competitive no matter what level you're at. I've been fortunate. I've coached at nearly every single level of football beyond high school, from junior college to Division II to FCS to Power 5 conferences to the CFL to the NFL. And I can't remember a game that you went into that you weren't being competitive against the guy that you're coaching across from. And, it's fun to see those kinds of guys on the other sideline and knowing that you're trying to, match kind of wits, so to speak, with some of the best in the country.
Last season, when you realize, hey, we're having probably figured out pretty early, hey, we're having a hard time getting to the quarterback, you had to take some chances. What kind of difficulty did that create where you have to gamble and maybe put your defensive backs on an island at times?
Yeah, the thing that probably as much as anything, the more you send at the quarterback in today's spread, when the ball does come out so fast, you got less guys at that second and third level of defense to be able to make make those tackles. And there's times, you can bring an unblocked guy because you're bringing an extra guy or you're bringing a fifth and sixth guy, and even if he's unblocked, the ball comes out so fast, you can't get to the quarterback. And so it does challenge your secondary and your underneath coverage that you're going to have enough people out there to get the ball carrier down if the ball does get caught out there. And, that's the part that we got to do a better job as coaches. I need to do a better job of being able to choose the right times to bring pressure and get after the quarterback, help our guys out, because we didn't have a ton of guys last year that were able to win one-on-ones. I was very blessed the 3 years I was at Wisconsin. The number of times that we brought more than four rushers was very limited in the game, but we had guys that could win consistently and get to the quarterback when you just brought four guys. And so we got to help our guys out and, you know, bring that fifth and sixth rusher, but bring them at the right time too.
Given that you've had that, you know, what a luxury that is when you've got guys that can just win at the point of attack. That really makes you look smarter, doesn't it?
Well, it's, yeah, I harkens back to the 20 some years ago when I first got into coaching. My high school coach pulled me aside, and he knew I was going to try to, you know, get into the profession. He said, "Let me just tell you the first thing I learned." He goes, "Good players really increase your coaching IQ," and that has certainly held up. And yeah, it's certainly a luxury to have guys that can win for you. Ultimately, you know, as much as we want to take credit as coaches with scheme and stuff like that, a lot of it comes down to players, and it comes down, this game still comes down to one-on-one matchups. And is your side of the ball winning more one-on-one matchups than the other side? And that's how you win football games. And, you know, that's where we've got to continue to train and build the skill for our players so we can win more one-on-one matchups and win football games.
Is there a player that maybe is new to the program that you're particularly interested to see what they become? Like, I guess you have that of all guys, but maybe is there a guy on the defensive side where you're going, you know, I'm really excited in the spring and into the fall to see what this kid can be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a couple of those guys. You know, we picked up a couple transfers, you know, two that jump out at the linebacker spot, Avery Roberts, because I got a chance to see him practice all fall. And even though he was working on a scout team, you know, he's a dynamic inside linebacker. And so he's a guy that was out there because of the transfer rule and couldn't participate in games for us, but was there every single day in practice. And he certainly made some noise, you know, as a practice player. And then, you know, Addison Gums is another transfer from Oklahoma. Now, he's still not fully healthy. He's still recovering from an ACL surgery that he had in August to go through spring practice, but, you know, transferred from Oklahoma and was a, you know, high-rated recruit out of California. And so those are two guys, you know what I mean? And then we picked up, you know, three junior college guys that we signed. Two of them are here on campus right now. And so, you know, with Jordan Whitley and Simon Sandberg. And so getting to see those guys that are new that have a chance to have an impact for us next season.
I think it's really exciting to see what you guys are going to do, because I think there's huge growth opportunity from year one to year two. Was it tough for you guys as a staff to continue to preach core values, fundamentals, the things that you know will be successful when you can get the talent into the program that you need last season when you're not getting the result?
You know, Coach Smith has done such a great job. You know, he just was so steady with his message to us as coaches, and you know, and then we tried to both sides of the ball, Coach Lindgren and myself, just, you know, stress that message on our side of the ball. And we knew that, you know, it's going to take time. All of us knew that coming in. We knew the situation, you know, where it was at, and there's no magic fix in the game of football when you have that many players that you're relying on to play right away. And so we knew it was going to take time. And so for us coaches, it was refreshing to see that our staff was able to stay the course and keep preaching the core values and keep coming back to it and telling the guys that, you know what I mean, if you keep doing it and you keep working on it, it will get better and we'll see the results. And we've just got to stay that consistent right there as a staff and as a program, and the results will come eventually.
Now, you got a bachelor's degree in business economics. You got a master's in business management. What business are we opening?
I'm in the football business.
When you're done, what?
I was fortunate. I found something that I love doing, and I get to do it every day, and therefore I don't have to work. And so, you know, that's why I do what I do. And so. But football is the people business.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately this is people business. We're dealing with young men, and, the wins and losses are extremely important. I know that I keep my job, based on the number of wins and losses that we have, but at the same time, the intrinsic reward of being able to affect young men and, change their lives, like the coaches that I had changed my life, is really rewarding.
I'm hearing a lot lately about the social pressure that kids are under, social media, their phones. I had a Power 5 conference AD over the weekend tell me that he had two of his athletes who were checked into mental facilities over the weekend. You've got Adam Silver in the NBA who's saying, look, these guys are making billions of dollars, but a lot of them aren't happy. They're stressed out. What do you see in kids today that maybe didn't exist when you were playing football?
Social media is the number one thing. I mean, that, you know, they have it tied to their hip or their hand and with their phone, and everybody's able to express an opinion, whether they're an expert or not, and put it out there. Unfortunately, it's right in their face, and it's hard to avoid. And it puts a lot of pressure, I think, on kids and athletes today that, you know, when I played 20, 25 years ago, it was a non-factor. You didn't hear from the peanut gallery, so to speak,
yep,
the way that you do now. And where everybody's got a voice, whether they're entitled to it or not, or really they're a professional about it, they can put out there a voice and other people can follow it or listen to it. And, I think it's something that it's here to stay. It's not going to go away. But I think we're all seeing as a society the effects that it can have if you're tying in so much of how you feel and your image and your self-image of who you are is tied on the opinions of strangers.
Your daughter, Ellie, how old is Ellie?
L.
How old is L?
L's 11.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Does she have a phone yet?
She does not have a phone yet.
Good for you.
A couple of years ago, we bought one of those. It's like a smartwatch, so it can make phone calls and text calls to my wife or myself. And she can also hit a number that contacts directly to the local 911. But we've been able to, believe me, the phone conversation has come up. But my
yeah.
wife and I have held strong so far with this it's called the Gizmo Watch that she has. So she can make phone calls to my wife or myself. That's the only ones, or an emergency phone call to the local 911. But, that's coming too eventually, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think it's tough because I know I have three daughters, and the oldest is 16, and she got a phone right around 12, and it just changed the dynamic in the room. I mean, even though we had rules for it and everything, it just totally – and I said, gosh, I wish we would have held off as long as we possibly could. So I think you're on the right track, and I worry about – I just think they have to deal with things that we never had to think about. Like,
right.
When school ended, Tim, we went home. It was over. And for them, it never stops.
Correct. Yeah, it's hard to get unplug and get away from it. It's always there. It's always a factor.
Coach, I appreciate your time.
It's the same way for our players, you know. But I appreciate giving me a chance to call in and say hello.
Obviously, yeah, we'll get you back on. I'd love to hear your thoughts after the spring when you get the chance to work with those guys a little bit more. But I think there's a lot of people that would like to get to know you a little bit. And I think it's this kind of platform that can help do that. So thank you for making the time.
You bet, John. Take care.
All right. Tim Tibisar, Oregon State's defensive coordinator. If you missed any of that, I will post that. What are the social media rules in your household? Think about that. 503-417-7575. Coming up, top of the hour, we're going to talk about the high school basketball playoffs. I'm excited about that. That's all this weekend. It'll all be decided. 5A, 6A. We got Bill Gates coming on the show. The Bill Gates, OSAA. He'll be joining us top of the hour. Later in the program, Nick Daschle of the Oregonian. Man, Oregon and Oregon State got big week ahead with college basketball. I'm looking at the Pac-12 tournament bracket, and I have no idea when Oregon and Oregon State are going to play in Las Vegas. I'm hoping that the Ducks and the Beavers end up like third and fourth or fourth and fifth. Like if they both sweep this week, because UCLA, Colorado, and Utah and USC are all playing each other, there's a potential for Oregon and Oregon State. Let's just say, hypothetically, don't roll your eyes at me, Husky fan. Huskies aren't playing for anything. Their seeding is done. They're the conference champion, barring probably an 0-2 week. They're not going to slip much in the eyes of the NCAA tournament selection committee. They still have Vegas to look forward to. I just wonder if the Huskies will drop one. I wonder if Oregon could get him or Oregon State could get him, even at home. So keep an eye on that. Even if the Ducks and Beavers go 1-1, they're probably going to end up 4th and maybe 6th or 7th in the Pac-12 tournament. Top four positions get first-round byes. I got an interesting correspondence that just happened a few minutes ago, by the way, during the Tim Tibbsart interview. Greg Sankey of the SEC is coming on Friday's show. He's the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference. Friday's show. Larry Scott, how about you? Got Sankey coming on. Got the commissioner of the finest college football conference in America.
That's fantastic.
Coming on the show.
Going to be here, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, he'll be on Friday.
I want to hear what a real commissioner sounds
like.
Yeah,
what is... is it going to end up with us arguing and fighting? Probably not. Mike's in Portland has called in about social media. What's up, Mike?
Hey, John. First of all, man, I want to clarify something. When we were talking yesterday about those kids and pep talk.
Yes.
And how when I was talking about dogs and horses and someone called me out on that, I just wanted to bring attention to Secretariat. You remember the Secretariat was on Sports Illustrated, and he was given Sportsman of the Year Award for his characteristics. So when people, you know, want to criticize me for using horses and dogs, I just want them to look up the history of Secretariat.
Okay.
They equated him and put him above people as being the greatest sportsman of that year.
Yeah, and Sports Illustrated has listed horses as athletes. I don't know. It's a debate we could have, but I get why you did it. Hey, we got to take a quick break, Mike. If you want to add more on the social media front, hang on, but he just hung up. But he just wants to clarify, set the record straight. Secretariat's an athlete, too.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.